We got dust on our Bibles, brand new iPhones. No wonder why we feel this way. We got dust.
Well, good morning, everyone. I was grateful just now as I noticed. Well, I'm gonna preface it like this. So, you know, worship is communal. We all are here worshiping together. And as Holly was leading us in it as well, looked over and saw Emma and Katie and Lila and Finley kind of lead us all to stand and worship together. And so just grateful that we live in a community where it doesn't matter how old you are, you're still leading. And so we're grateful for that. I want to continue in our series, our revival series, talking about pressure today. Pressure. I know a lot of us experience that. All of us experience pressure. And it reveals itself differently in our lives. I'm experiencing it deeply right now in a number of ways, personally, and not professionally, but with the Eagles. just struggling. I'm praying that as we play the Minnesota Vikings today, that we would do well. According to my dad, I'm not allowed to preach outside of a suit, so I guess he'll appreciate my shirt today. But pressure. I want to look at, we're still looking at walking through the life of King Hezekiah as he walks us through revival. We'll look at 2 Kings chapter 18 today and also 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I won't read it in your hearing in this moment, but I do want you to, I want you to read it when you get home, but also as we are walking through revival to understand that the Lord has a word for us when we hear a preached word and when we just simply read the scripture. But let me pray for us and then we'll continue to worship. Heavenly Father, we are grateful today. We are beyond grateful that we get to worship you. Father, I pray, God, that as I preach your word, that it would be clear, it would be compelling, it would be encouraging, it would be convicting to your people. Help us to understand how to handle pressure better according to your word. Lord, we love you. It's in the perfect name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. So, family, let's be honest. Pressure is a universal language. Many of us experience, we all know what it's like to live under the weight of pressure. For some of us, it's the pressure at work, those deadlines that keep chasing us well after you clock out and you go home. For others, it's the pressure at home, whereas bills are stacked high and kids are pulling every thread of patience you've got. Yes, this is true. For somebody else, it's the pressure in your faith, trying to trust God when your life feels like it's unraveling. Pressure comes in different shapes, but it always feels the same. It always feels heavy. It doesn't matter if you are a CEO or an intern, pressure will find you. It doesn't matter if you're a mother of three or a retiree and an empty nester, pressure will seek you out. Pressure will find you. Pressure will know how to get to you. And if I'm real this morning, I feel it too. I feel the pressure as a pastor to serve you all well, to preach faithfully every time I stand, to lead wisely. I feel the pressure as a husband to love my wife well, pressure as a father to raise my children in this world that seems to get darker by the day. I feel pressure as I lead also in the business world to make decisions that don't matter just for me, but matters for others. Pressure will make even the strongest among us feel weak. You can practice, you can plan, you can prepare, but when the weight comes down, it exposes what's on the inside. It was back in 1995. It was game one of the NBA Finals, and it was the Orlando Magic playing the Houston Rockets. And we all know the Orlando Magic were there because Jordan had retired, and he wasn't in full shape yet, so he allowed another team to go to the finals. But it was this contest between Orlando and Houston. Now, Orlando had a great team. They had Shaq was on the team. They had Memphis' own Anthony Penny Hardaway was on the team. Horace Grant, who had won these championships with the Bulls. They had a solid team. And then they had this man by the name of Nick Anderson. So Nick was a pretty good free throw shooter. He was good. He had a good mid-range, shot threes. He was pretty good. And so it comes down to the end of the game, final seconds. All he has to do is make one of two free throws, and the Magic win game one. He steps up to the line, and he shoots it, and he misses. But it's okay. It's okay. He had two opportunities. He steps back up to the line, shoots it, and misses it again. Well, Nick ended up missing four free throws in a row, and Houston goes on to win that game and then sweeps the series. But here's the thing. Nick Anderson was pretty good at shooting. He had the same size ball that he practiced with. He had the same size rim, same mechanics. But under pressure, everything changed. Pressure didn't make him a bad player. It just revealed what was already on the inside. It revealed the fear. It revealed his nerves. It revealed the doubt. And isn't that true in life? Pressure doesn't create something new. It exposes what's already in us. And the truth is, God's people have always felt that same kind of pressure. If you open the pages of Scripture, you see it in the life of King Hezekiah. You see, King Hezekiah, he led a revival in Judah. But you see, revival is always tested. And his test came when the most powerful empire on the earth showed up at Jerusalem's gates. So I need you to walk back with me. Go back in time with me to 701 BC. Jerusalem is on the edge. If you climbed over the walls and looked out, you could see thousands of soldiers stationed there. Tents covering the hills, the dust of marching boots filling the horizon. The most powerful empire on earth has arrived at Jerusalem's gates. You see, the Assyrians weren't just any army. They were infamous for brutality. Oh, they impaled captives. They burned cities to the ground. They piled skulls at the gates of the towns that they conquered. They didn't just defeat nations, they humiliated them. And now they had their eyes, their sights set on God's people. And inside the city, fear is thick. Parents pulling their children close to themselves. The elders are, they're whispering to one another because they know how brutal this army is. You can see every heart in the town trembling. And at the center of it all, you have King Hezekiah. Just 25 when he took the throne, he became a reformer. He was excited. He had youth and vigor. He wanted to live for God. So he tore down the idols. He reopened the temple and led revival. And like I said, revival always sees a test. And the test that revival sent came not in the form of some big, strong, burly man. No, it came in the form of a voice. You see, the Assyrians sent their spokesperson, the Rabshakeh. That wasn't his name, that was his title. He was the field commander, the king's mouthpiece. His job wasn't to fight with weapons, but to fight with words. We see him in 2 Kings 18 try to elicit fear on God's people. He goes to them and he starts shouting at them. He says, "Who do you trust in? You foolish people, who do you actually trust in?" And then he made sure he spoke in Hebrew so that they not only heard him, they understood him. He asked them, "Who do you trust?" He said, "Don't think Egypt is going to save you from us." He says, don't think your little king is going to save you. And then he mocks even further. He says, "Don't think your God is going to save you." Then he goes on and say, "Look at all these other nations that we conquered. They thought their gods was going to help them. They didn't." You see this here, his mockery of God's people. But this wasn't just military pressure. This was spiritual pressure. And family, I want to show you something today. This voice still speaks today. That the rapture, cuz, still stands at the wall of your life and speaks. When your marriage is struggling and that voice says, stop fighting for it. It's not even worth it. Just walk away. When your money gets tight and that voice says, forget integrity, cut corners. Nobody will know. When temptation comes knocking and that voice says, go ahead, you deserve it. It's the only way you can cope. When culture mocks your faith and that voice says, why stand out? Just blend in, keep quiet, compromise. You see, the rapture, because his goal was the same then and it's the same today, to talk you into surrender before the battle even starts. And Hezekiah felt it, because it tells us here in chapter 18 of 2 Kings that he went to the temple doors and scraped all the gold off of it and handed it over to Assyria. He was hoping that money would buy him peace. Can you see this? The very place that represented God's glory stripped in desperation. That's what pressure does. It tempts us to compromise. But praise God, because it does not end there. The story doesn't end there. Later in 2 Chronicles 32, something shifts. We see Hezekiah gathers the people and declares this. He says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria. Let me read from my Bible. Of the king and all the horde that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Do you see this? This is the same king, it's the same pressure, but two different responses. First, there was a response of compromise, and then we see a response of trust. And isn't that true about us? Pressure doesn't create who we are. It reveals who we are. It shows whether we'll scrape the gold off the temple doors of our lives or whether we'll shift our eyes and trust the God who fights for us. That's the crossroads that Hezekiah faced. And it's the same one we face today. Pressure always brings us to a decision point. So let me put this sermon in a sentence. Here's the big idea. Pressure will either push you into compromise or will press you deeper into trust in God. I want to say that again. Pressure will either push you into compromise or will press you deeper into trust in God. Pressure reveals what's on the inside. So if there's fear on the inside, pressure will push that fear out. However, if there's deep faith on the inside, pressure will bring that to the surface. So when money gets tight, do you cut corners or do you trust God's provision? When relationships are strained, do you run back to old habits or do you run to prayer? When culture pushes against your convictions, do you blend in or do you stand firm? That's what pressure does. It brings us to a crossroad, compromise or trust. And revival in your life isn't proven in the easy times. It's proven in times of pressure. So as we talk about this first path, because if pressure always brings us to crossroads, something for many of us, the first decision most of us lean toward is compromise. And that's exactly what we see in King Hezekiah's story. Under the weight of pressure, he thought, if I just give the enemy what he wants, maybe the pressure will stop. But family, that's what pressure does. It tempts us to compromise. Here in 2 Kings, again, 18, the Bible tells us that King Hezekiah did something unthinkable. The Assyrians had surrounded Jerusalem, and under that kind of pressure, he panicked. Scripture says he stripped the gold off of the temple doors and handed it over as a payoff. Now remember, this is the very temple he had just reopened, the same temple he had restored during revival. But pressure makes us forget what God has already done for us. Under pressure, King Hezekiah thought, maybe if I just give the enemy what he wants, the pressure will go away. But here's the truth. Compromise never satisfies the enemy. when he gave him that, Assyria didn't pack up and go home after the payoff. They actually came back louder, stronger, and more threatening than before. And isn't that how compromise works in our lives too? We think if we just bend a little, if we just cut corners, or if we just hide our sin, the pressure will ease, but it doesn't. It only grows. Compromise feels like control, but it often or always leads to captivity. I want to lean in here because we've done what Hezekiah did. He felt the pressure, and instead of waiting on God, he tried to patch it up himself. And if we're honest, that's most of us. Under pressure, we start patching instead of trusting. Think of it like this. You're laying home in the bed in the middle of the night, and you hear the sound of drip, drip, drip. And you run and find where that sound is coming from, and then you look up. There's a big brown, wet spot in your ceiling, and you're thinking, oh man, I'm tired. Let me just put a bucket here, and that should solve the problem for now. It'll do a temporary fix, but it'll make it feel better in the moment, but that water, you're thinking that water's not hitting the floor, and you can go back to bed, but what you can't see is the wood above is swelling. You don't see the insulation that's soaking in all that water, and the roof is getting weaker by the hour. You manage the symptom, but the structure is still breaking down. That's what compromise does. It's a spiritual bucket under a leaky roof. Temporary comfort that allows long-term decay. It makes you feel in control while the damage spreads quietly above your head. Hezekiah thought he could buy peace by scraping gold off God's temple, but what he was really doing was weakening the very place where God's presence dwelled. And isn't that what we do sometimes? We start scraping the gold off the doors of our life, the gold of integrity, the gold of purity, the gold of prayer, the gold of faithfulness, just to make the pressure stop. So let me ask you a question. Where are you tempted to scrape the gold off the doors of your life? Do you give up on prayer because life feels too busy? Do you lower your integrity at work just to get ahead? Do you run back to old habits when stress builds up? Do you silence your convictions when culture mocks your faith? Or maybe for you, maybe you downplay your faith or change who you are just to fit in. That's what pressure does. It makes compromise look attractive. But listen, every time you give the enemy a little ground, he only demands more. You can't negotiate your way out of spiritual pressure. The enemy will always come back for more. That's why compromise is never the answer. It doesn't free you from pressure. It only feeds it. And until you see that clearly, we'll keep scraping gold off the doors of our lives, giving away the very things God meant to shine for his glory. But the good news is the same pressure that tempts you to give up can also drive you to trust God. That's right. Pressure can drive us to trust. We thank God that the story doesn't end here. Again, in 2 Chronicles 32, we see the shift. The same Hezekiah who once scraped gold from the temple doors now stands before his people and boldly prepares. I want to read it again. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him, that's an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people took confidence from the words of King Hezekiah, of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Do you see the change here? Hezekiah moved from trembling hands to a steady voice, from scraping gold to speaking with courage, from panic to proclamation. But what happened? Somewhere in the press of the moment, Hezekiah remembered who his God was. He remembered that he served the one true living God. But notice the contrast in his words. He says, "With them is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God." He acknowledges the Assyrians had numbers, they had weapons, and they had a reputation, but at the end of the day, all they had was human strength, the arm of flesh. Judah, on the other hand, had the presence of the living God. Hezekiah shifted the people's focus from the size of the army to the strength of their God. And this is what trust looks like. Trust is not pretending that the pressure isn't there. No, Hezekiah doesn't do that. He doesn't deny that Assyria has a vast army. He names this reality, but then he reframes it. He puts their power, the Assyrian power, next to God's power. And then you start to see how laughable the Assyrians are. Because one is flesh and the other is the Lord of heaven and earth. And here's the deeper truth. The pressure didn't just test Hezekiah, it actually transformed him. The same king who once caved learned how to stand. The pressure that tempted him to compromise earlier is the same pressure that taught him to trust now. Sometimes God allows pressure not to crush you, but to deepen your dependence on him. I want you to think about diamonds. I'm fighting the urge to say something else. I want you to think about diamonds, how they don't form in comfort. They're created deep underground where heat and pressure is overwhelming. What could have been just another lump of carbon becomes something radiant and strong because of pressure. Or think about farming. Farmers deal with pressure when it doesn't rain. A drought is pressure. It hurts the land, but when rain is scarce, the roots of a plant are forced to grow deeper in search of water. The pressure of the drought actually strengthens the plant's foundation. That's what God does with us. The pressure you face may feel unbearable, but it can become the very thing God uses to make your faith stronger and your roots deeper. So let me ask you a question. What would trusting God under pressure look like for you in this season? If your finances are tight, instead of cutting corners, could you actually press deeper into prayer and into generosity? If relationships are strained, could you choose forgiveness and faithfulness instead of bitterness and escape? If temptation keeps knocking, could you lean into accountability and God's word instead of shame and secrecy? If culture mocks your convictions, could you stand your ground knowing you're not standing alone? Maybe it's learning to trust God when the pressure to perform, to please, or to prove yourself feels louder than his voice. You see, that's exactly how our God works. You see, because what happens here in 2 Kings, it tells us that the people, as they were surrounded by the army, as they were surrounded by these people who were powerful, who were strong, who had experience in killing people, they were surrounded by these people, but the Bible says they went to sleep. And then they woke up, and they saw that an angel of the Lord had killed 185,000 soldiers. The people of God didn't lift a sword. They didn't run out in the night. They went to sleep and let God do all the work. This reminded me of something in our house a few weeks ago. Karis had come home and she was telling Courtney that she wasn't feeling well. It seemed like it was beyond a regular stomach ache. And so Courtney listened to her symptoms and she said, "Okay, baby, just go to sleep. We'll take care of it." And so Karis went to sleep. And I was finishing up a Bible study those who came to the Bible study were there. And I was getting pictures from Courtney, because she knows if she sent words, I wouldn't have got the right thing from the pharmacy. And so she was sending me pictures of what I needed to go pick up. And so I went to the first place they didn't have it, went to the second place they had it, and I got home. And we had what Karis needed to be well in the morning. Well, here's the thing. I noticed Karis didn't stay up all night worrying about her sickness. She didn't stress about how it was going to get fixed. She rested. She let her father and her mother handle what she couldn't. And that's what trust looks like. Sometimes God is just saying to us, go to sleep. Get some rest. I've got this. While you're stressing, he's already working. While you're worrying, he's already fighting. While you're tossing and turning, he's already moving on your behalf. Judah woke up to see their enemy defeated. And you can wake up tomorrow and realize that the battle isn't yours. It belongs to the Lord. So yes, pressure tempts us to compromise, but it can also press us deeper into trust. And when we trust, we discover the battle was never ours to begin with. The battle was the Lord's. But this raises a final question, because yes, if we don't compromise, yes, if we push into trust, the pressure is still there. So how do we deal with the pressure that still weighs on us? Because even when we trust, we still feel it. And that's where I want to close today, by showing you how God can take pressure, the very thing that feels like it's crushing you, and use it to produce something powerful in your life. I want to teach you, well, many of you may know this, about in the ancient world, olive oil. You see, olive oil was a powerful resource in the ancient world. It was used to light the lights in the temple. It was used as healing for the people. And it was also used to anoint people. But do you know how olive oil is made? They would take olives and they were placed under a massive stone press. And they were crushed and squeezed and they were broken. And it's under this pressure that the oil flows. So without the press, there was no anointing. Without the press, there was no light. Without the press, there was no healing. Now, as we fast forward to the New Testament, where Jesus was on the night before he was crucified, Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know what Gethsemane means? It means oil press. It was in the place of pressing that Jesus felt the full weight of the world's sin. The cross looming before him, the disciples asleep beside him, his soul overwhelmed with sorrow. And in that garden, he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Do you see this? In his greatest moment of pressure, Jesus chose to trust over compromise. And because he chose to trust, salvation flowed. Because he chose to endure the press, you and I can walk in freedom today. The greatest revival the world has ever seen, which was the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was birthed under pressure. And so where do you feel the press right now? Do you feel it in your marriage, or do you feel it in your finances, maybe in other relationships? Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your faith. The pressure is real, but it's not the end, because the same God who was with his people as they were led by King Hezekiah, it's the same God who's with Jesus in the garden and on that cross. It's the same God who is with us today. So don't let the pressure push you into compromise. Let it press you into trust, because the battle isn't yours. It belongs to the Lord. And you can leave here today confident, because pressure may surround you, but God is with you. It may press you, but God will fight for you. It may weigh you down, but God will lift you up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you today. Father, I want to pause in this moment and just say thank you for who you are. Thank you for how you strategically allow pressure to come to make us more like Jesus. I want to pray, God, for those who are here today, just in this moment, Father, while everybody's eyes are closed. I want to pray, if you are just feeling pressure right now, please just lift your hand up. If you're feeling just on this extra pressure, I want to pray for you. I see you. Father, you see your people in this sanctuary. I pray, God, that whatever they're dealing with, whatever they're going through, the weight of pressure, that they, one, would decide to trust you in it all. And that, Father, as they are trusting you, let them know that this pressure is making them more like you. And sometimes, Lord, we don't want to hear that, because it's so hard in the moment. But Father, help us, mature us to know that you are doing what's good. So Father, we honor you, we praise you, we magnify your name. It's in the perfect name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.